Pete here from the Football Ramble, which is being sponsored by LiveScore Bet. This football season, experience total betting for yourself. It's everything you love about LiveScore, like the latest scores and cutting-edge stats, alongside great odds, offers, free-to-play games, and a slick bet builder. It's everything you need in one place. Less app hopping, more action. Download the LiveScore Bet app. T's and C's apply. Please bet responsibly. 18 plus, gambleaware.org.
Santander's Edge Current Account gives cashback to reward customers.
Do they also reward treachery?
What? This contains the names of people who have their salary paid into...
our rival's current account.
Nicholas!
They give me cashback on my big supermarket shop.
You'll be hearing from our lawyers.
Finding your edge with the Santander Edge Current Account.
18 plus, £3 monthly fee to maintain the account. Paying £500 a month, excluding internal transfers, and have two active direct debits. Cashback exclusions apply.
I don't think it's a bad thing to have high expectations. I think you need to have that when you get better, and it's a good thing for them to have that. It just shows how far they've come. Everybody, welcome. Well, good afternoon, Tim. I apologize. Good afternoon to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Today is the last day of my work week, I guess, because I'm taking a long weekend. It's also the last day of living in the new place alone. Julia's been traveling all week. So I've been ordering takeout and leaving all the cabinet drawers open. It's been nice to live the bachelor life again for three more days. But she comes home tonight.
Is leaving the drawers open a bachelor thing?
Apparently, yeah. I didn't know how often I did it. Or like I don't close closets all the way or something. It's funny, the stuff. When you become self-aware when you start living with somebody else for the first time almost.
Are there things that you don't like about her already that you're getting? She's getting on your nerves?
Nope. Not one.
Good answer. Good boy. So you had all the time in the world then to watch the big game yesterday. And what?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, let's just start with this. Expectations going into this game. High for you, low for you. What did you think before they dropped the puck? And I said it yesterday. I said this game will be dictated by how hard the Stars go. And I feel like the Stars went after it. What did you think? But what were your expectations coming into this, Tim?
I would say they were fairly high. I didn't expect, you know, we talked about it, all-star game level of compete. I didn't expect, you know, Stanley Cup playoff finals either, but somewhere in between, but definitely bigger than a regular game. And it far exceeded that. Like, this was fast-paced. We're going to talk about all this stuff. It was just, you know, end-to-end, not a lot of breaks. The linesmen pretty much kept the whistles in the pockets too, which I like, because there were a couple of things that they could have called that they didn't. It was a great game, and it far exceeded my expectations, not only in the speed and the pace of the game, but just how exciting it was and how hard these guys were trying.
Yeah, the crowd was in it. The environment was electric in Montreal. It was a great opening night game for this Four Nations Cup. I think you had obviously two great teams, and it was action-packed. I loved it. My expectations coming in were very low. I didn't think the players would go as hard as they did. And let me just preface this, because there's different ways of playing hard. I knew they were going to skate fast. I knew they were going to try to score when they had the puck. I did not think the effort level was going to be as high as it was on the defensive end. And now maybe this is just because Sweden, that's just ingrained in their game. But even on the Canadian side, there was back check, Cirelli diving to block shots of Victor Hedman in the last minute, like just diving all over the place. It was a high compete game. I was very pleasantly surprised. There was no times when I looked on the ice, Tim, and I saw guys just loafing or just not back checking on the Canadian side. Obviously, there are times when guys are tired, but for the most part, it was a great game. It was an absolutely entertaining game. So good on those players. It was super, super fun. Far exceeded any All-Star game that you would ever watch, because this is replacing the All-Star game this year. And if they can consistently do this year in and year out, this is a no-brainer. This is fantastic hockey. It was a lot of fun. It kicked off right off the bat. 1 minute into the game, Tim, what happened?
Yeah, so they had the line, which is something that hockey fans in general, but particularly Canadian hockey fans, have been waiting for a long time. It's MacKinnon, McDavid, and Sidney Crosby all on one line, which is just ridiculous. The speed and the power and the hockey IQ and just watching these guys skate and pass together was something special. You know, so it's like, you know, Gretzky and Lemieux in those tournaments. So it was a lot of fun to watch, and they scored 57 seconds into the game. McDavid to Crosby. Crosby, the no-look backhand to MacKinnon, who buries it. And I didn't see this angle until this morning, but it's kind of ice level. And you're looking right through Crosby's legs. And the defenseman right there just barely squeaks by under him, trying to get down to block the pass. It's just incredible pass. And what a way to start the game and get that building rocking.
Yeah, and that power play, and it's well documented. They've been working those five guys after practice, far after the rest of the team has left the ice. And you can tell they were comfortable with each other. That was a planned play. It's not like Crosby is just hoping blindly, throwing a pass in no man's land. That is an engineered, drawn up play where he goes, okay, I'm going to get pressured from the D-man. I'm going to rip it backdoor. You be there for a tap in. And MacKinnon was there. You can almost tell MacKinnon, not tell, you saw him laughing after the goal, saying, I can't believe that worked. That was an incredible pass. And this is a guy who's used to playing with Mikko Rantanen and Laikkanen, these like high-end players. But the chance he gets to play with Sidney Crosby, it's just incredible. Imagine being a Swedish forward and defenseman lining up when you're killing a penalty and just looking across and seeing those three guys. Like, it must be so intimidating. It just to know there is no good option to defend this power play. Because typically you give up something as a PK. We'll give you the point shot. We'll give you the flank. We'll give you the slot. You have to give them something. It's an odd man advantage. What do you give them? Giving them anything is a 53 goal scorer in the slot in Sam Reinhart. That's giving them something. You know what I mean? And then they just make him look silly. It took what? All of 7 seconds to score a goal for them. It was well executed, well drawn out play, and they just nailed it.
And even 5-on-5 too, like you think like you it takes all of you, all five, six of you, including the goalie, to stop pressure, you know, line shift from Crosby and MacKinnon, whoever's playing the third, whether it's Mark Stone or someone else. Then you get them off the ice and you feel like you've accomplished something. And here comes McDavid and he's rested and he's flying around. So there was really no breaks, but Sweden played really well. And you started to get the sense in the first period that this game might start. Canada might just be that much better than Sweden, and it starts to kind of run away with it. But Sweden battled back. It was a great game. And I kind of want to talk about the pace itself too. So high energy, we talked about Cirelli blocking shots, is not the only one. Big hits, lots of physicality. There's that little moment between Dahlin and McDavid where he's just shoving McDavid around, which is pretty cool. And even Drew Doughty, who has played in multiple Olympics, has two Stanley Cup rings, like he's been around World Cup. He said that's the fastest hockey game he's ever played in. Like, well, what does that tell you?
It's his first game action in months and months and months. So I think it might be skewed a little bit that way. So maybe we take that with a grain of salt. But it tells you that it's an incredible amount of talent on that ice. Like, it was fun to watch. It was just a great game. I was tickled pink, Tim, after that game. I love that Sweden came back and tied it. I thought they were going to win it in regulation. They were pushing.
Yeah,
they were playing really, really fantastic hockey. And then Canada obviously wins it in overtime with Mitch Marner. But I think everybody can just exhale and just go nice. Like there's not one bad thing you can say about that game. Well, there is a few, and we'll get to that, and some decisions to be made for Connor McDavid. But even Connor McDavid, he kind of came out after the game, and I think he was posed a question: are you surprised with how good it was? And he said, no, I think people may have this tournament confused for an all-star game. It's not an all-star game. This is a competitive event, and everybody wants to win, and you saw that tonight. So even he was just kind of putting the final spike on this game. Was like, no, like we were going for it. You take pride in putting on the jersey, and you could – by the way, how nice were those jerseys? Oh, my gosh. The Canadian jerseys were incredible. I thought they looked really very sharp. I thought they were very sharp.
Trey Croners were looking excellent.
Huh?
I don't like the off-white look. I like the they weren't my favorite.
Well, because you're racist. You like all white, everything. I thought it was incredible. I thought they looked very sharp, very, very clean. I liked the red. I thought it was nicely done. But all the best players in the world are invited, Tim. All the young cats are there now. Everybody's in the pool. And still, the best player on the ice. Is he 37 now?
I believe so, yeah.
37-year-old Sidney Crosby. Outclassed absolutely everybody. McDavid had flashes. But for the most part, look, you know, normal. The Swedish team looked good. The best player on the ice out of all the superstars is Sidney Crosby. How, like, can we wrap our head around how lucky we are to have this guy in our generation, to be able to see him grow up as a kid and move through the ranks and still at this advanced age, just like not even keeping up. Like Brad Marchand is keeping up. He's playing really good. Crosby was the best player on the ice, Tim. By a lot. And he's 37 years old. So he was incredible. Three assists all over the ice. Two primary assists where without him, there's no chance those goals happen. And he was just absolutely a joy to watch. And I know I'm just maybe just being a little too positive and people want me to be negative. I had a great night. I thought it was a great hockey game. You can't be upset with two really solid teams going at it. It was the perfect opening salvo for this little round robin that we have in the Four Nations tournament. What did you think? Am I overstating Crosby's greatness?
No, I've said this recently. The older I get, the more I appreciate him. And I would say even love him as a person and a player. It's a lot of fun to watch. And just the spot. He wasn't even sure he was going to play a couple of days ago, right? Now he's playing. He was a Canadiens fan growing up. Like to get cheered by that building and those fans is really special. So, and again, if you're a Bettman and you're watching that first power play goal, going back to that between those three guys, like it's nothing better for Canadian hockey than that play. And then Crosby just, you know, getting the first star of the night, the three primary assists. Like you said, he was just dominating every shift he was on the ice. And it's hard to account for him because even if you double man him, like you can't. There's McKinnon, right? So it's just wild to watch. But I want to talk about the overtime. This is kind of where the game took off, in my opinion, because it was a lot of fun. And then you get to like, there's two things happen simultaneously. The first is that there's like that playoff like atmosphere where it's just high speed, high intensity. Like they're going all out and the goalies are making some incredible saves. We're going to talk about that. But at the same time, you can tell these guys are gassed. You're starting to see like the passing's not as clean as it was it once was. Pucks are bouncing a little bit. The sticks aren't on the ice and you're seeing some backdoor stuff that might have gone in the first or second period doesn't get buried. There's that McKinnon one that Gustafson, you know, robbed him for, but McKinnon buries that 9 times out of 10. So it was a lot of fun to kind of see both of those things playing out. But let's talk about the goaltending. Which one do you stood out more, whether positively or negatively?
Oh, well, I think one fits in one category and another fits in another category. I thought Jordan Binnington as a whole was terrible. I feel like he got, what, 3 shots in the first period, and the average length of those shots was 70 feet. They all came in from the blue line and were just flutterers. So he didn't get tested in the first and he didn't really get tested in the second, but he still gave up a couple meatballs to Jonas Brodin. And then another one to Kempe coming in over the blue line. That was the third period, I believe. So I thought he played atrocious. You know, he wasn't square. He wasn't seeing the puck. And the thing is, these goals aren't going top shelf that he's missing. These goals aren't going 5-hole on a redirection. They're from a long way out and they're going dead center of the net. They are going through him, or in the case of the first goal, over him somehow. So I don't know why they started Jordan Binnington. John Cooper loves his compete level. I don't know why Jordan Binnington's on the team, to be completely frank with you. He should not be there. Logan Thompson is the best goalie right now playing, who was born in Canada. And for whatever reason, that's above my pay grade. He was not invited to this camp and not invited on this team. And then Joey Decord apparently doesn't have a passport. I don't know that situation either. So Binnington gets to start. And all you want your goalie to do in this situation is to not give up a beach ball. Save the ones that you are supposed to save. That's all we want you to do. You don't have to stand on your head. You don't have to make these acrobatic saves, because guess what? We're Canada. We're going to score and we will win this game if we just base it off of chances for, chances against. Well, he didn't do that, Tim. He sucked. And for all those all those saying, oh, he played great in overtime. I know. He did. Why were they in overtime? Why? Oh, because he gave up two terrible goals to him. And you can't say that they weren't. There was no screen, no redirection. There were two goals that should have been saved. It should have been a 3-1 game. And the reason it was a 3-3 game, first of all, was Gustafsson played fantastic. He played tremendous. 5 Bell saves all over the ice, robbing Devin Taves, robbing McKinnon, robbing all of these guys consistently. Acrobatic, playing on his toes, challenging shooters, not giving up a ton of rebounds. He played great. And Sweden played a really strong defensive game. They didn't give Canada too many chances, but and this is where John Cooper gets in hot water. Before the game, he said, we want to play one goalie all tournament. That's what we would like to do. We feel like that gives us the best chance to be successful. He says, it's Jordan's net, and it'll be Jordan's net until it's not. So what do you do now? Because he gets the W. He played good in overtime, so he actually did seal the game for them. But do you think they're going to get those opportunities versus USA? Do you think that's going to be what would you do, Tim?
He did kind of back himself into a corner, Cooper, by saying that before the game. But I think you go back to him. At the end of the day, he played well enough for you to win. Like you held up a really good Swedish team at the end of the third period when they were buzzing, and the overtime when they were buzzing. You had a couple of huge saves, but a few, you know, big ones too that kept them in the game. I know that some of those goals were soft, but like you said, Canada's designed to score. They're gonna get their 3, 4, 5 goals a game. So you're allowed to have a couple. You can count on that and still have a chance to win as long as you don't let in the big goal. And he didn't do that. And even Sweden's third goal, I don't really blame him for that rebound. Can't get across it quick enough. So I think you go back to him. And I think that the overtime proved that. So I don't know what the thinking is. And you know, just quickly on Gustafsson, he was electric. I'm thinking about that save on McKinnon. I think it was in overtime, but just throughout the game, you know, you're going to give up the chances when you're playing that level of talent, but he gives Sweden every chance to win. And you got to think he'll continue to do that as this tournament goes on.
See here, I guess we won't know until they play the game, but Canada looked good. They kind of faltered, sputtered, petered out midway through the second and the third period. They looked very on their heels, very one-dimensional. One guy's trying to do it on his own. What this tie does is it opens up all kinds of options for Sweden. I think the big games obviously now are USA. Everybody assumes everybody will get by Finland and Finland will go 0-3. Assume that. You don't. You think Finland's going to make the finals. But
yeah,
what this does, these next two games for Canada are almost must win. Because if you don't win both of these games and you finish 2-1 and you allow Sweden to get this extra point for losing in overtime, that opens up all kinds of options in a ball of wax where it's just you can't just go with Jordan Binnington tomorrow and just say, oh, you know what? He won this game. We have to win next game. You won't beat USA if you give up one bad goal.
Pete here from the Football Ramble, which is being sponsored by LiveScore Bet. This football season, experience total betting for yourself. It's everything you love about LiveScore, like the latest scores and cutting-edge stats, alongside great odds, offers, free-to-play games, and a slick bet builder. It's everything you need in one place. Less app hopping, more action. Download the LiveScore Bet app. T's and C's apply. Please bet responsibly. 18+, gambleaware.org.
Santander's Edge Current Account gives cash back to reward customers.
Do they also reward treachery?
What? This contains the names of people who have their salary paid into
our rival's current account.
Nicholas!
They give me cash back on my big supermarket shop.
You'll be hearing from our lawyers.
Finding your edge with the Santander Edge Current Account.
18+, £3 monthly fee to maintain the account. Pay in £500 a month excluding internal transfers and have 2 active direct debits. Cashback exclusions apply.
You won't. Like, they're too strong. I'm just, that's I firmly believe that. You should go to Aiden Hill and just ride out the tournament with him. I think you gave Binnington the shot. You saw what he has. It ain't good. He's not as good as other options you have on the roster. But they'll probably go with Binnington because he's an idiot. I don't know how else to say that. Why is he even starting in the first place? But
so it's too bad. The last thing I want to talk about before we kind of talk about takeaways from this game is the overtime itself and the format of it. 10 minutes of 3-on-3, which is a lot of time. You know, sometimes those 5-minute, you know, regular seasons feel like they go by too quick. Mm-hmm. Although most of the time, I believe they get resolved in those 5 minutes. But 10 minutes, and it went like seven, eight minutes before someone scored. So they were asked, some of the players after the game, about that. And McKinnon said, no, thanks. He was like, 10 minutes was too much. He was gassed, like 7 would be good. But most of the other players felt that way too. And you saw that when you watched them play, like we talked about, there was clear signs of fatigue. But Cale Makar, on the other hand, who was like incredible conditioning, like, yeah, 10 minutes is great. We should do that in a regular season. Like this,
McDavid loved it too. McDavid thought it was great.
Right. So if, as a player, like, do you think there's any chance they bring this over?
I would love it too. I think resoundingly most players would be for it. And the reason is I think it gives you a better idea of a team strategy where you typically 5-minute 3-on-3, you see the same groupings of three twice. They just go every other shift until the game's over. When you have 10 minutes, you have to strategize a little more. You extend your bench a little bit so you see more players. I think it gives it more of a team feel rather than, okay, we're going to play 6 guys until they score or they get scored on. That's the end of it. So I think it could leak into the regular season. I liked it. I thought it was great. I thought you saw a little bit of everything. Like you said, guys got tired. You get more chances, but they get a little bit more sloppy. It forces a coach to play a little different players than he might play. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great addition to this Four Nations Cup, and it's a time to test it out. And for the most part, Tim, it seems like players like it. Oh, I'm tired. Who cares? Suck it up. Like, it's good. It was good hockey. And if Cale Makar's doing that when the guys played a half an hour because someone got hurt, how can you say no to that? It was great theater. I think you stick with it next year in the NHL.
So speaking of getting hurt, Shea Theodore now is out for the tournament. He had x-rays during the second period. He took an awkward hit that was clean, but, you know, he's hurt. And remember, Team Canada is already missing Petrangelo, who had to bow out for his own injury. So Travis Sanheim is the 7th defenseman, who's now the next man up. And the way that it works, and this is something I want to say LeBron tweeted out, or one of those guys, Chris Johnson, says Team Canada has options and they're starting to, like, you know, they have all these contingency lists of if guys get hurt, who do they bring in? But they can't bring anyone else in unless another person gets hurt. So right now they have 6 defensemen. They're moving forward with 6 defensemen. If another guy gets hurt, it has to miss time, then they call the next guy up. But that doesn't happen until that point. Just to think ahead just a little bit. We have no reason
to. Good luck getting anybody to come in. They're already on vacation. It's like, right. Hey, did you bring your gear to Mexico? Do you want to just take a quick trip to Boston or Montreal? Like, not a chance.
That's the guys aren't going to want Anderson to do that. The other day was at the airport or something. I had a ticket in his hand when he got called for Quinn Hughes. So who would be the next man up, though? Is it Bouchard? Is it Uyghur? Is one of those guys? Or do you look at, like, Elaine Hudson, who would be great in this tournament?
I think this would be a case of whoever is available, they would take. Lane Hudson would come in a heartbeat just as a young kid. But if you're, like, you're on vacation, you're not going to cut it short just to potentially play. You know, be maybe a 7th option if a guy doesn't want to go or he's not sure if he's going to go. Take warm-ups. We'll let you know. Like, I don't think a guy will put themselves in that situation. But it is unfortunate. You look at a team like Vegas. Like you said, Pietrangelo didn't want to come because he's rehabbing an injury, just playing it smart. And then his Bonnie to his Clyde gets hurt, and Shea Theodore. Now, who knows? This guy might be out long-term.
It's week to week right now. Yeah.
He is a huge part of that Vegas Golden Knights team to the point where if he's out long term, that's an issue. Like, this is a Stanley Cup contending team. So this is the biggest fear of allowing your players to play in this tournament is, well, what happens if they go down? What happens if something happens? Well, here you go. Something has happened. And now the Vegas Golden Knights they're on the hook for it. You think Team Canada cares that he's hurt? They don't care. You know, it's the Knights' problem now. Ship him back home. Hopefully he's not too bad. Was it his wrist or his shoulder? Have they released anything? I didn't really get a good sense of what happened to his right arm, but it was a weird way he went into the boards, and I didn't really get a good idea what was hurt. But it's definitely something upper body on the right side of his body, so hopefully he feels better. Is he a good player?
The last thing here is I didn't realize this, but just back to Sid real quick. Team Canada, when he's wearing that uniform for whatever tournament in whatever age, is 26-0. And this is a time when, like, the rest of the world is caught up in, like, the world juniors and the women's teams and things like that. Like, you're seeing these other international tournaments
where... He played on the women's team?
No. Other international tournaments where Team Canada, the gap between them and the other countries isn't what it used to be. And yet, he's still 26-0. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's incredible. It just speaks to A, his longevity, but B, his dominance. It's outrageous. There's no way he should not have lost one game, especially when you look at the World Juniors this year and they lose to Latvia. It's like, what? Yeah. And then he's just dominant. 26 wins, Tim.
Insane.
It's not nothing. Good for him. Yeah. All right, moving on. What are we talking about next?
Let's just do some quick hits here. There's another big name on the trade market, Jared McCann out of Seattle, who's been a good winger for a few years now. It's rumored that he's going to be available, and you'll hear a lot of teams calling about him. He's a versatile forward that can also play center, which is really something that other teams should be looking at. He's on the power play. He can kill penalties. He's a good big body. He's 28 years old. He carries a $5 million average annual value to the end of the 26-27 season, so two more years after this one. And he's got, you know, a respectable 42 points in 56 games this year. So he's someone that teams will be calling about.
Why is he on the market? You would think they'd want to hold on to this guy. That's a great contract for him. He's a good player. This is a strange one for me. He's their leading point getter. I don't know why the Kraken. Who said he's on the market? Frank?
I don't remember the source. There were a few about him. I can find it while you'd look. But yeah,
no,
I don't
know. It's fine. I'm just shocked that they would allow him to get on the open market when they have other options or guys you probably would maybe want to trade. But I don't know, if I'm a GM and he's on that list of available players, I'm jumping at him. He's one of those guys that just kind of flies under the radar and you don't really hear much about him because he's in Seattle and they had that one fun rare year. But ever since then, they haven't really pushed too hard. He's a hell of a player.
It's
an absolutely hell of a player. So if he's out there, and he's still got 2 years left on his deal at $5 million. Ooh, I'm making that deal in a heartbeat. He would be my number one to try to go and grab. He's a big body too. You know, 6'1", 6'2", 200 pounds. Like, hell yeah, I'm going to get this guy.
Yeah, and it was Jacob Stoller from Sportsnet. So he's, you know, one of those analysts and reporters. So we'll see what comes out of this. The next one up here, the USA-Finland tonight, obviously, that's the big game. The official, we knew this was coming, but it officially is Hellebuck versus Saros between the pipes. And so it's been cool because while Team USA has been together this past few days, they've had multiple dinners with like Mike Modano and some of the guys from the 1980 team. And Ruzioni said it best. He said, this is the best collection of American talent ever put on the ice. Yeah. And all this hype, I'll be honest, is starting to make me a little nervous. Like there's when things seem like they're going so well and there's all this attention and all these high expectations, we've seen a lot of good teams, whether in the league or internationally, just get like burnt out or crack under the pressure. So I'm hoping we're not putting too much onto this group or in terms of our expectations.
Yeah. No, well, the expectations are high, rightfully so. USA Hockey has come leaps and bounds. There was a period in the early 90s where I wasn't sure where USA Hockey was headed. They had come out and they had a great World Cup of Hockey in 96, and that kind of vaulted the expectations a little higher. Then it just went stagnant a little bit. Where it's like, where is this, you know, USA Hockey heading? Because they had the Modanos and the Doug Waits and those ilks of the world, the Keith Tkachuks. There was a good group of players in that era. Then it just didn't go anywhere. And then you had your odd Patrick Kane, but now it's exciting. There is some heck of a hockey player coming through this USA program, and they are the favorites. Like it or not, they are the absolute favorites. Maybe they don't have the highest end talent, McKinnon, McDavid, McCarr, but they're damn close, and the depth is there. So I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing to have high expectations. I think you need to have that when you get better, and it's a good thing for them to have that. It just shows how far they've come. And now they are potentially, they're the new Canada. I don't know any other way to say it. Look what they did in the World Juniors. Look what they've done internationally in the last few years, Tim. They've played fantastic.
Yeah, and it's a good point too. Of like, you think of like the late 2000s and the, you know, the early to mid teens, and those international teams, Olympic teams, World Cup, whatever. It was like a lot of like blue collar guys, and then like the occasional like Kane, like you mentioned, or yeah. or in prime Zach Parise, and maybe a Kessel, although he was overlooked in 2016. But then you have like they're the apparitions. Now you're gonna have like elite 100 point players on your third and fourth line. It's yeah. just wild with how far this program has come, and it will be a lot of fun to watch tonight.
And it'll be good for USA hockey as a whole, just kids, because you want to continue to progress it and grow the game. And for the NHL, this is the best case scenario. If they go out and win this, and it's a nationally televised thing, and kids see that and people get excited for it, then you parlay that into the next Olympics and away you go. A strong USA just brings tons of money to this. It's not good when it's just every team is just littered with Canadians and Russians and Finns. You need American talent. You need those guys to push the dollar and to just get it marketable. Like Austin Matthews being there is great. Jack Hughes being there is fantastic. Jack Eichel. These are big names that kids see and they want to buy their jersey and they want to go watch the game and they want to go see him in person. That's why the NHL needs USA hockey to be good. There isn't the same draw. And I'm going to put Connor McDavid outside of this and Sidney Crosby outside of this because they're in a different stratosphere. But versus a very good Canadian hockey player, say a Braden Point or a Mark Stone or these types of guys versus their comparables on the U.S. side, the U.S. guys, they're just more famous because they're from the USA. That, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but there's something to be said about branding and being a USA-born player and pushing that to USA born kids, you can gravitate to it a little more. Like, oh, he went to, you know, Quinnipiac and he went to this university and he got drafted. I know him. Or he's from like northern Saskatchewan. Kids can't get behind that very much from the U.S.
Social media is a huge part of that too. When you got guys like Matthews hanging out with Justin Bieber and stuff, and even though he's in a Canadian market, he's an American kid. So that's definitely factored in too.
Well, who do you got there, Tim? Yeah. Because we got USA Finland tonight.
Yeah.
Is this a no brainer?
I think USA wins this one. I think it will, 3-1. What do you think?
I think USA puts the boots to them. I know you're really high on Finland. I'm not feeling the same optimism as you are. I think it's going to be a 6-2 game. I think really? USA is just going to work them pretty solid.
I think my belief in Finland is more of just, I think they're getting overlooked and they'll surprise some teams. I don't think it happens tonight. Could be wrong, obviously. I still like Finland in the finals. There's no reason to think we haven't seen them play yet. So I'm not changing my story. But and then USA and Canada over the weekend. And this is extending longer than I thought. It's going to go until Wednesday or Thursday next week. So we have a lot of this tournament left to watch, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's a huge break for the guys not playing. There's four teams playing. There's still a whole hundreds of players that are on vacation. They get almost 2 weeks off. It's a pretty like large chunk of time for these guys to be off. But in other international news, Gary Bettman on the first game of the Four Nations Cups decided it's great timing to announce that the World Cup of Hockey is back starting in 2028. And they're going to go every two years on, 2 years off with the Olympics to make sure that we don't overlap. But great stuff. Gary Bettman hitting stuff out of the ballpark these last few months. It's great with the salary cap going up, the Four Nations Cup, now the World Cup of Hockey. He is on a winning streak. He said there's 8 teams that'll be a part of the tournament. He didn't list the teams, but you would assume Russia's coming back. You would assume Germany's going to have a team with Dreisaitl, Czech Republic, Slovakia. Those types of teams are going to be introduced to this tournament. So there'll be 8 teams. There'll be no Young Guns team. There'll be no Team Europe like they had in 2018, I want to say. 10 years ago or so, but it'll be another good international tournament that'll take place in 2028 because the Olympics are next year. So love it. How do you not love this stuff, Tim? It's fantastic.
I love it. Last night was an absolute blast. I'm looking forward to tonight and it's just so much fun watching these guys. And you're right. There is a level of pride when you put on your country's jersey and the flag and all that. So really cool. I'm hoping for big things tonight. And John, anything else coming up for the weekend?
No, we're just laying low. I'm trying to get my boiler hooked up because I want to lay the flooring in the house. And the guy installing the flooring said he won't do it until it's up to temperature. So I have heaters in there and it is at a decent temperature, the house, but he's a little apprehensive about laying the flooring just because I'm going to crank up and put like 110 degree water through it. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. So I'm trying to get this boiler hooked up and getting all the pipes and pumps and fittings and T's and elbows and this and that. It's a lot. And so I brought in a guy to help me, and he's there right now working on it. And I kind of go through and make sure it's all looking good, but it's stressful. You know what I mean? It's stressful. I need some money. People need to sign up for a Patreon, because this is costing a ton of money. I'm getting bleeded through my notes. So we're having a lot of fun in Patreon. This is another thing I wanted to discuss. I'm glad I brought this up. So I brought up last episode, my wife stealing the Super Bowl from me. I got worked in our Slack channel with everybody on Patreon. We have a bunch of people in the group, and I'm on there a lot. Tim's on there a lot. So we're always chatting back and forth with everybody and having a good time. And I posed a question, like, am I the jerk for thinking I should have went to the Super Bowl? Like, or am I just delusional? And everybody, Tim, resoundingly. There was a few people on my side, but for the most part, the majority of the people said, no, your wife is in the right. She should go. You offered, and you should live by your offer. And she said, yes. So it's your fault, dummy. Why would you offer that? And I was a little taken aback. I almost closed down the whole Slack channel. I was a little upset, but it's a good time. So if you want to support us, you should sign up for Patreon. We have some fun things in the works. We might release some episodes on there just for the Patreon customers. We might do some other fun things, but even just a Slack channel, it's a lot of fun.
$5 a month. You're not doing anything else with it, so give it to us.
I was thinking we get thousands of listeners per episode, 10, 15, 50, 80,000. If only a I sound like one of those guys trying to get money for Africa. For the cup of a coffee, you could feed John and his family for one whole day.
It is fun.
But if you want to support the show, sign up for Patreon, right, Tim?
Yeah. Discounts for merch, discounts for John's cameo, and some other behind the scenes stuff. There's information we only share in that Slack channel. So go check it out.
On that note, we might do an episode tomorrow. If Tim finds some time, we'll let you know. I want to do one, but he's busy. His wife gets back tonight, so he's gonna be busy. So we will. We might talk to you tomorrow. If not, we'll talk to everybody next week. So, cheers, everybody.
Pete here from the Football Ramble, which is being sponsored by LiveScore Bet. This football season, experience total betting for yourself. It's everything you love about LiveScore, like the latest scores and cutting-edge stats, alongside great odds, offers, free-to-play games, and a slick bet builder. It's everything you need in one place. Less app hopping, more action. Download the LiveScore Bet app. T's and C's apply. Please bet responsibly. 18 plus, gambleaware.org.
Santander's Edge Current Account gives cash back to reward customers.
Do they also reward treachery?
What? This contains the names of people who have their salary paid into...
our rival's current account.
Nicholas!
They give me cash back on my big supermarket shop.
You'll be hearing from our lawyers.
Finding your edge with the Santander Edge Current Account.
18 plus, £3 monthly fee to maintain the account. Paying £500 a month excluding internal transfers and have two active direct debits. Cashback exclusions apply.